Our precious Heavenly Father, as we began to see our brothers and sisters returning back from conference, it is with joy in our hearts that Thou hast led them and watched over them and kept them safe. We thank Thee for this, and we pray a continuance in that prayer that the rest of our people shall return safely and without incident. We thank Thee that it was a good conference and a peaceful conference, and that all went well. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, as well, that when our people gather together again in the August Ministers' Conference, that would be as well with the directing and the leading of Thy Holy Spirit, and that the work and the things which will be brought up then will be accomplished to Thy will. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for Charlotte Hinkle, for the loss of Dave. We pray for their children and for their family and relatives. We pray that Thou would bless and comfort them. For those who will be traveling to Grand Junction, that Thou would keep them safe upon the highways and the byways. We pray for the many who are sick and afflicted, our Heavenly Father, for the many names who have been mentioned, that Thou would bless them in their needs. We pray, most of all, our Heavenly Father, that Thou would fill the spiritual needs of Thy children, not only in this church, but throughout the world. And as we gather together here this night to hear Thy word, to receive Thy message, may Thy Spirit be upon our brother Bill to give him liberty of speech and of thought, that he would be able to expound those beautiful scriptures and expound unto us the message of the hour. And I pray that we as well would be receptive to that message. May Thy Spirit be felt here mightily this night. And for this we do ask and pray always in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And now, if each and every one of us will give our careful and our prayerful attention to our brother Bill as he expounds this beautiful gospel.
Thank you, Tom. This evening, I'd like to speak a little bit about the laws that God has given to us. And one of these laws that we have to live with is the law of nature and the law of the sciences and the physics. The laws that govern the temporal things of our lives, as well as the books that govern the laws, that give us the laws about the spiritual things in our life. And I wanted to bring in this added dimension and discuss both of the laws that God has given to us. You know, I've wondered at times why God allows so much pain and suffering to go on, especially to those who serve Him and are diligent in keeping His commandments. Because we see, I believe, pretty much an equal amount of pain and suffering, whether an individual is a Christian or whether a person is not a Christian. We're all subject to those same laws that are common to mankind. We all have the same weaknesses, the Christian and the non-Christian. The difference that we find is how a person handles those things that confront us. And in the ability to be able to handle those things. I'd like to begin reading in the book of Acts in the 6th chapter. And this is about Stephen. And starting with verse 8 in the 6th chapter, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Stephen was a man of God, a servant of the Lord that was diligent. He worked hard for his God. And then I'd like to read down through the 15th verse, through the end of that chapter. "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they summoned men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses who said, 'This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us.' And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And in the next chapter, Stephen proceeds to expound unto these people part of the gospel as he knows it, and to tell them of things past and present and the future. And I'd like to continue reading in verse 54. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." I'd like to stop there. You know, usually when we hear something like that, that is a person speaking under the influence of the Spirit, it has quite a different effect on us. Things that would be said to this body of people would probably, I mean, if these exact same things were said, only more pertinent to us, they're things that would bring tears to our eyes and joy to our heart. But it had a different effect on these people because their hearts were hard. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Now, Stephen was a righteous man. And yet, he, along with many of the disciples and many of the Christians of that time, died violent deaths And so it makes me think that these people, like John the Baptist, and like Stephen, and like many of the others, and like Christ, who gave their lives, they didn't make a big deal out of these things that happened to them. And it makes you stop and wonder, there must be a lot more to it than just being able to live a good life here in this life as we know it. Being subject to the laws that we have, the laws of nature, the laws of God, the laws of the land. There's got to be a lot more to it than just living a good life so that God will make it easy for you. Because these individuals and individuals throughout the scriptures, they lived good, righteous lives. And yet, a lot of them died violent deaths. And it just didn't seem fair. It didn't seem right. They had earned more than that. And yet, when you put all the pieces together, each page of the scriptures, and each story being a piece of the puzzle that we put together, and you put those all together, you see that there is a lot more to it than just having it easy and having it good in this life. They knew that there was a lot more to it than just being able to overcome and to not be involved in all the cares and the problems of the world. It doesn't matter whether an individual is innocent or righteous. We all still have to comply with the same laws that are given to us, the laws that are set in existence by God. When Darren was in the hospital many years ago, there was a lot of little kids in intensive care that we saw come and go. Some of them very small babies. Some of them a little older, about Darren's age. Some of them would come in there and they wouldn't make it. And there was a small boy that came in that had spinal meningitis. I'm going to guess he was about a year and a half old. And I thought of that scripture, and this applied towards Darren also, in Matthew, in the 7th chapter, 7th and 8th verse, it talks about ask and seek and knock. I think we're all familiar with it. And I was quite concerned about the welfare of this small child, and I really felt like if we asked sincerely enough, that surely this child's life would be spared. And I thought these same things for Darren when he was in there. What's it going to take for us to warrant the blessings that we seek for these individuals? Is it more righteousness, more diligence in our prayers? You know, we would do anything. We would do anything that was within our strength to help one of these little ones that are innocent. And I had Jim Lacey talk to this individual, the parents of this little baby. I talked to both of them, and I really felt like, he administered to that little baby, and I just felt good. I felt sure that that little child was going to be lifted up. But he didn't make it. He died. And I went through some tough times there, recalling those words. I'd like to read that in Matthew. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I had a tough time with that scripture. I found it difficult to understand what it was saying, because I sure didn't understand the meaning. There's a lot more to it than what it says, evidently. But as time went on, and as an individual grows in the gospel and studies more and learns more and listens to other sermons and listens to the Spirit of God, you start understanding that there's a lot more to it than just taking one of these scriptures literally. There's conditions that go with it. And sometimes those conditions are conditions that we have absolutely no control over. There are times when we don't understand why God does things the way that He does, why He'll call somebody home, why He'll allow immorality and things of the world to be so rampant and so vile, and to see the people who cheat prosper, and to see people that are righteous suffer. There had to be a lot more to it than just asking and seeking and knocking. You know, I don't believe any of our prayers go unanswered. I think sometimes our time schedule is a lot different than God's. We'll ask a question and we'll think to ourselves, we haven't got an answer, but maybe we have. Maybe He said no. Maybe that's His answer. He has a lot of different ways that He's used, that I've seen, that He talks to us and He reveals things to us. Sometimes it's that still small voice that we hear. Sometimes it's the burning within our hearts. Sometimes it's through a sermon. Sometimes it's through your kids or your parents. I think we've all witnessed experiences like this where we, questions that we've had have been revealed to us. We've seen how miraculous and how wonderful some of these answers are that we receive, that are so much more beautiful and greater than anything that we could ever conceive of ourselves. Something completely different than what we were looking for. I think we can find an answer to almost any question we have in the Scriptures. Christ was an excellent example when He said, when He was first beginning His ministry, He was tempted of Satan three times, and three times He said, "It is written." Plus, we have all of those things that were written since the time of Christ. And during the time of Christ, during His ministry, so much more has been written. We have the added witness. We have all the pieces to that puzzle that the world doesn't seem to be able to put together. And I'm convinced God is concerned about each one of us. Nobody sitting here in this room or in this church or in this world is insignificant enough that God doesn't care about them. An interesting little thing happened just yesterday, and I didn't recognize it until I was looking through the Scriptures. And I thought about that Scripture that says even when a sparrow falls, God knows about it. Friday night, I went out in the pool, and there was two little sparrows that had fallen out of a tree. They tried out their wings and didn't make it. They drowned in my pool. I scooped them out. And then again, Saturday morning, I went out there and I saw another one. And I got the strainer and I scooped them out. And I saw them move a little bit. And he was just barely moving. So I set him down underneath the tree. And he looked like he was a goner. And I had a guy working on my yard Saturday, and he saw him, and he put him out underneath another tree. And put a little newspaper over him to keep him warm. And put a little bit of food up beside him. And he stayed there for a couple hours, and then we looked and both noticed he was gone. And I thought more about those laws of nature and applied that to our lives. You know, what determines when we make it and when we don't? And then I thought about that, and I thought, well, what difference does it make? You know, what it's all about, what kept Stephen going, and what kept the other apostles in the ministry, and the Christians of today going is not how easy it's going to be for us here in this life. Because the scriptures tell us this life is just such a fleeting moment compared to our eternal life. God has the power to raise the dead. But our reward isn't here on earth. It's in heaven. And that's what we need to be concerned with. Our spiritual welfare. We pray an awful lot about our physical welfare. And rightfully so, because that's one of the things the scriptures tells us to do also. Is to pray over our flocks and our fields. To pray morning, noon, and night. For those in need and for ourselves. I'd like to read a verse in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. And this is a scripture that there's not very many sermons that I preach that this scripture doesn't slip in there. Because it's very important to me. And it's very important to each one of us to know this scripture. And I think we probably already do, every one of us. It's the 13th verse in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is a scripture that helps me endure. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That scripture gives me a lot of strength. And I believe it. I believe there's nothing that's going to confront me that with God's help I'm not going to be able to endure it. With His help I will be able to endure. And each one of you, in the things that confront you throughout each day of your life, it might not be just exactly like you want it to be, but no matter what it is and how bad it is, if we rely on God, He will help us to endure those things. I've had days where I got up in the morning, I offered a prayer, prayed that, Lord, be with me throughout this day. Help me to be a good example. Help me to be able to keep in control of myself in any situation that comes up. I wanted everything to be just right. Get down to work and find such a disaster coming over me the rest of the day, I just can't believe it. And I shake my head and I wonder why I started the day off right. I asked for His help. Then I think, I picture myself like Peter in the garden when he was with Jesus. And the soldiers came to get him, to get Jesus. And Peter asked Christ, Lord, shall we smite? And then he went and did his own thing. Jesus didn't tell him to smite off the ear of the servant, but Peter went and did it anyway. Just like I talk to God and ask for His help, and then I go and do it my way and do my own thing and get so busy that I forget to listen to Him. Unfortunately, God usually speaks kind of softly, and you have to listen. He doesn't shake you to pieces and force you to do anything. But He does give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. I'd like to read in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Verse 45. And this is Christ speaking, that ye may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Some more of those laws of nature that each one of us are subject to. The righteous, those who are unrighteous. We all are subject to those same rules and regulations that nature has put upon us, the same laws of physics and of science. The unrighteous might prosper, the righteous might not. But many times it's just the opposite. Many times we've witnessed miraculous things. We've seen miracles and had experiences, each one of us, that were beautiful, wonderful things that don't happen to the unrighteous people. They happen to the people of God. And we've seen those things time and time and time again. I'd like to read in the 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, starting with verse 7. This is Paul speaking. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We needn't be concerned, just as Paul wasn't concerned, about the strength of our humanness and our ability to not be confronted by asking God to take all these things from us. I would rather be strong spiritually than strong physically. And I'm sure each one of us feel the same way. I think we as Christians, we have so much more than the world has. We're subject to the same things that they're subject to in the laws of nature. But yet, a lot of those times, we have the ability to just overcome them outright, or we have the ability to have God's Spirit with us to overcome them mentally so that they don't bother us and upset us and hurt us. Paul tells us the wisdom of man is foolishness. We've seen the theories and reasoning of mankind, and they're trying to figure out the laws of nature. but they don't come close, don't even come close to the knowledge that we can receive from our Lord as to combining the laws of nature and the laws of God and putting those things to use in our lives. I'd like to read in the 14th chapter of John. Starting in the 15th verse, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And in the 21st verse, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." All of us here know and love our Lord and our Master. And we strive to keep His commandments. Sometimes in our own human weaknesses that are common to all of mankind, we forget and we fall short. But we need to remember that professing our love is one thing. But here Jesus tells us to show Him that we love Him by keeping His commandments. In closing, I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Thank you.
When you